Good morning. Our gospel reading this morning is Luke 7, verses 36 to chapter 8, verse 3. In today's gospel reading, we hear the story of the meal that Jesus shared in the home of Simon the Pharisee, which is interrupted by a woman of great and questionable reputation. This story is found in all four gospels. Clearly, there is something about this story of extraordinary generosity and mercy in the face of judgment that all early Christians saw as foundational for our faith. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee saw who had invited him, saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is given loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? Well, that was quite a conversation, eh? That one between Jesus and Simon. Wonder if Simon had any idea when Jesus said, "I have something I want to talk to you about." And he said, "Sure." Whether he knew what was coming. To be fair to Simon, and I think Jesus is pretty fair to Simon, it must have been quite a scene. That scene in Simon's house. Whole crowd likely, and in slips in amongst the crowd this woman. Everybody knows her, but if not personally, at least by reputation. She's lived a hard life, made some huge mistakes, burned a lot of bridges. But this gospel thing, this magnetic gospel thing that seems to be surrounding Jesus, both in his person and in what he says and in this whole community that seems to be gathering, this gospel thing has gotten under her skin. This way of unconditional love that Jesus is preaching, this way of beloved community that loves all and includes all and forgives all. And for the first time, and she can't remember how long, she feels like there's something here that sees her, that includes her, that loves her, forgives her. And so it all comes pouring out of her. When I say it all, well, yes, it's the gratitude for that, but it's also the years of grief and the tears. And in Simon's world, in Simon's home and world, it's a little unseemly, messy, awkward. So Jesus addresses the awkwardness, right? Simon, do you see this woman? Great rhetorical question. Of course he sees her. Of course he does. But really, do you see what's going on here? Look, Simon, you've lived a kind of a charmed life. And this has been a charming dinner. Nice. Pleasant, safe, it's all good. This woman, she has lived an extreme life, a hard life. Do you see that? It's a long way back simply to survival from where she's been. And what I want for her is a clean slate, a new start, all of it. Wiped away, and I want, actually, not even just that, I want abundant life for her. It's no wonder that when things got a little messy, well, it's no wonder that when it's her and that shift to abundant life, it gets a little messy. Unconditional love, when we haven't experienced it since forever, it's kind of overwhelming. So is it any wonder that she started pouring out her gratitude, and once she started, she just couldn't stop? Let's keep it real, Simon. What she did was beautiful, albeit a little over the top emotional and a little messy. Well, folks, on a day like today, in what feels like a season like this, as I make my way and we make our way through the last few weeks of our relationship as minister and congregation, I have been feeling like there's a lot to pour out. A lot of thoughts, a lot of mixed emotions, and frankly, with this party coming after this service, I anticipate that after this service, I'm going to lose control of the microphone. So I better get my words in first. Frankly, it's a time of really mixed emotions, and it does get a little messy. I had the funniest, beautiful little conversation the other day. Somebody came up to me that I hadn't seen since I had announced that I'm moving, and they said, "Hey, Will, congratulations on your move. I'm really going to miss you. I am so mad at you, but good for you." Okay. That brief, beautiful little conversation spoke volumes to me about what this is like. People feel good that good things are happening for me because, you know, you care, and that's great, that's lovely. And people want to be honest as they experience loss. "We're going to miss you." I get it. Me too. And people experience this as a kind of a, well, it's a kind of a deliberate leaving, which can hurt. It's not just changing jobs, a lateral transfer. No, this is changing relationships. And it's not like the boss came into my office one day and said, "Pack your things, Sparks. You're being reassigned." There was some of that. And I chose. And in choosing, I chose to leave. This ending echoes with some of the feelings of other endings in our lives. And although I don't want to be too overly dramatic about that, in some ways it feels less like a death in the family and more like a divorce. And I'm the jerk who made the decision. Right? I tell you this not, as I say, to be overdramatic, but to be real. We're celebrating some good years of ministry together today, and it is good to think in celebratory terms. And the reality is that it's also kind of messy and somewhat painful. Roy Oswalt, who is a consultant in congregational ministry all over North America, used to work for the Alban Institute. He wrote a little book about endings in pastoral relationships called Running Through the Thistles. And in this book, he tells a story of his childhood. He says, "When I was a young boy, age 6, growing up in rural Saskatchewan, my two older brothers and I would often decide to walk home from school over the fields rather than along the road. It was shorter, to be sure. But occasionally, we would come across an enormous thistle patch. I can't remember seeing anything like it since, but those thistle patches sometimes used to extend half a mile or more. In places, the prickly patches would be 50 to 100 feet wide. In some places, more like 10 or 20. The rest of the field lying fallow in the summer was tilled soil. We wore no shoes in the summertime, so you can see our dilemma. How to cross these thistle patches in bare feet? We did have the choice of walking around them, but since it was the end of the day and we were tired and hungry, we were anxious to get home. Mother usually had a snack treat for us to tide us over until supper. To walk around the patch would take us way out of our way. The other option was to back up and run through the narrowest part of at full speed. Being the youngest, I feel his pain. With the least speed and the smallest leg span, I always objected. And I was usually overruled by my two older brothers, who would then each take me by the hand and run me through the thistle patch. And I can still vividly remember the experience running full speed in bare feet across 20 feet of prickly thistles, yelping in pain all the way. And when the three of us reached the black soil on the other side, we would immediately hit the dirt and start pulling out the few thistle ends that were stuck in our feet. Uh-huh. From the moment I realized I was going to be leaving Northwood and heading to Highlands, I knew that this time of transition was going to feel a little like making our way through the thistle patch. I know we will get to the other side. I just know it. And on the other side, there will be good life, new relationships for you, for me. And I genuinely believe that it is filled with possibility for renewal for us all, even though it feels a little uncertain at the moment. But between now and that new life that awaits us, in which God is already at work, there is a thistle patch. that we have to make our way over, and that's a little messy. It's a little messy emotionally. It triggers all the other endings that we've experienced, and it adds another one onto the pile. So, if you discover, lurking among the flowers of gratitude, a thistle of anger, how can you leave us now? I was counting on you to be here for, fill in the blank, folks, for my child's baptism, for our family wedding. You were going to do my funeral. I've heard it even. I understand, and I'm sorry about that. If, as you sift through the memories of how things have been and you run across a nasty little barb that goes something like, he's leaving? Was it something we did? Well, pull that one out of your foot. The answer's no. But let me address the messy edges around that question. Someone wondered out loud the other day whether this move was more push than pull. And I thought, that's an interesting way of putting it. And that's a lively question for probably lots of people. The energy of this change, is it coming from what has happened at Northwood or from what is happening at Highlands? It's a good question. And honestly, I've been through these transitions, and so have you. And the truth is, it's never solely one or the other. Life is far more messy than that. But primarily, it has been pull. Northwood is a strong, resilient, gifted, committed community, a great place to be in ministry. And Northwood will make it through this transition well, with good leadership. Of that, I am confident, and ministering with you these years have been good. In recent times, with the amount of juggling that ministry has included, where there's property balls in the air and different staff configurations in the air and all kinds of other stuff, and all in the context of somewhat limited financial resources, so you don't always have a lot of room to move, I have often felt in ministry like, well, first of all, they don't tell you about this part of it in seminary. And there's no course on juggling in seminary. There just isn't. And so often in the last couple of years, I felt like I'm pitching with my non-dominant hand. And you've probably even noticed it's been a little clumsy at times. It has certainly felt that way for me. The beauty of this, and that communities go through these juggling times all the time, is that none of us have gone through what we have been through over the last number of years alone. That we've done this together, and well. There are people here that your minister coming up will lean into because you're good leaders. That's my experience. So I never felt the push to leave. Primarily, it's pull. The pull of a new challenge, and a challenge that doesn't come along every day. So you gotta either take it or not. And in this thistle patch, if your foot falls on the painful twinge of loss, well, just know that every change, even constructive change, involves loss. And there is loss in this for me too. But like with all the other losses in life, if you look at it more closely, you discover that there is also beauty woven into the midst. Beauty of relationship that has nurtured the life in you and the life in me. The beauty of faith that has grown and deepened. The beauty of love that reminds us of who we are and what we're here for. The beauty of a season of rich life and joy that we can look back on and cherish with gratitude. Yeah, gratitude. I actually think that it all kind of comes down to gratitude. In my books, it was gratitude that poured out of the woman with the ointment and the tears in Simon's house that day. Gratitude for being loved in a way that she never expected. It is gratitude that reminds me of how good we have it in this life. How blessed we are. How much we have to offer this world. And so gratitude is my mantra for the next 5 weeks. For I believe it is gratitude that helps us wend our way gracefully through the thistle patch. Amen.